all across Wisconsin from Civic Media. This is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlove.
Along with Greg Bach in Waukesha, unabashedly Wisconsin, this is Up North News Radio, brought to you by Courier Newsroom, carried by our friends across the Civic Media Radio Network on this Tuesday morning, July 30th, 2024. Brittany Merlot out sick today. Hopefully she feels better really soon. We can talk to her tomorrow. If I just say hot, humid, scattered thunderstorms, kind of covers it all, I think. Greg will be my witness that it is warm and humid in Waukesha as it is up here on Lake Wissota.
Mm-hmm. It's starting to feel it. What's weird is only 65 degrees here, mm-hmm. but you can feel there's something in the air, and you realize like later today you're gonna be like, ugh.
it's not Phil Collins in the air. It's something it's steamier than that. Rob has a good explanation. Good morning from Tigerton. Sunny with light fog and 66. Yesterday, he says, I saw a classic rib mountain split. When rain systems hit the Wausau area, the rain splits north to Merrill and south to Stevens Point, but areas just east of Wausau don't get much rain. It's like a very teeny tiny miniature version of what the Rocky Mountains do, you know, to the weather. Farmers use that term of the rib mountain split as the rain split up in that area, which I can definitely see. We saw the pop-up thunderstorms here in the Chippewa Valley where folks in, say, Elk Mound got very little to no rain, but, you know, places southeast of Eau Claire were getting pummeled yesterday. So that does, in fact, happen. And Paul Anka also notes that the Paul Anka comeback song we played last hour, Having My Baby, was one of the top songs of 1974. You notice it hasn't made a comeback.
Way to go, Paul. Well, that happened yesterday with the rain. I was driving home and it felt like it was going to rain. And then I hit, it was torrential to the point where it was like foggy, where you couldn't see cars in front of you. And then Kenosha, done.
Yeah. Yep. There was some fog here this morning from the humidity. That's already lifted here on our part of Lake Wissota. If there is any residual fog out by you, please be careful out there on the roads. Ran out of time last segment before I could tell you about the National Day Calendar and also tell you that it was on this day in 1975 that Jimmy Hoffa was at the Red Fox Restaurant in Bloomfield Hills, Michigan, last seen in the parking lot there, disappeared around 2:30 that afternoon, never seen nor heard from again. You know why? He probably had the lasagna, because it's still Lasagna Awareness Month as well. And just went to that big lasagna pan in the sky, or maybe he buried under lasagna someplace. Who knows? I mentioned that it's International Day of Friendship. This is National Cheesecake Day, National Paperback Book Day, National Whistleblower Day, National Father-in-Law Day. We have a Mother's Day, we have a Father's Day, there's the Siblings Days and things. Father's-in-law get July 30th, and nobody knew anything about it coming up. So that's just a special note to my sons-in-law that I'm here. You know, go ahead, drop an email.
That's awesome.
Send money, whatever.
Oh, okay. Never mind. I thought you were like, if you want to have a chat or, you know, a moment, you send me money.
Oh, yeah, I'll talk to you. Yeah, whatever. Send flowers. Yeah. This is Support Public Education Day, which reminds us that the Wisconsin Public Education Network Summer Summit is going to be getting underway today and tomorrow in Madison. We'll cover that in our homeroom segment tomorrow morning at 7:30. This is Fight Human Trafficking Day and National Snorkeling Day, too, although Lake Wissota not really known for its snorkeling. The water here's got a very high iron concentrate, so it's kind of got a brownish tint to it. I am very jealous of some of the lakes up north that are still so clear. I mean, if you drop your phone in the water, you can at least see it as it goes all the way down to the bottom and rests there. But snorkeling not advised around here. And if so, you might see, you know, a catfish or a sturgeon or something that you think for sure is going to take you down. So probably better that you don't have that. But that's what you have on the National Day Calendar today. We were talking last week about the ascension of Kamala Harris to presumptive nominee for the Democrats and how the vice president and her candidacy have really flipped a switch in terms of enthusiasm with folks in the Democratic Party. which is not to hold anything against President Biden, folks are quick to add, but a lot of people were ready for the torch to be passed and for there to be a next generation of leaders. Well, there had been for years a nationwide Zoom call for Black women to talk about political issues and other areas where they could make a difference. Well, they held a phone call. They held their usual Zoom call after Kamala Harris officially became the presumptive nominee for Democrats. And of course, tens of thousands of Black women took part in it and raised, you know, something like well over $1 million. It was 1.5 million, I guess, is the number. Then there was a Win with Black Men Zoom call, a Latino Men for Kamala call, a South Asian Men for Harris call, all aimed at raising money to support the vice president's campaign. On last Thursday came White Women Answer the Call 2024. It drew more than 150,000 people to a Zoom meeting that crashed the platform and raised more than $8 million. And now, of course, pulling up the rear came the White Dudes for Harris call, which ran 3 hours and brought in more than $4 million by the time things were all done on Monday night. And the New York Times article notes that a lot of the White Dudes for Harris, as they call themselves, really leaned into the self-deprecation. Bradley Whitford from the West Wing, the Wisconsin native, marveled, quote, "What a variety of whiteness we have here. It's like a rainbow of beige." And so it was nice of people to, you know, be able to poke a little bit of fun at the 60,000 or so attendees that were part of this call that were put on by organizers. They heard from Governor Tim Walz of Minnesota, Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg, Josh Groban, Lance Bass, Mark Hamill, North Carolina Governor Roy Cooper, Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker, cracking jokes about J.D. Vance. I would have liked to have heard that one. J.D. Vance is going to give the Laughing Tap a lot of material for the next few months, isn't it?
I hope not.
J.D. Vance?
Yeah, I don't know. There's only one real joke with it, and it's been spent. And, it's spent.
And we can't really do much with it on the radio, though I will say we don't typically watch John Oliver's HBO show until Monday nights.
Yeah.
And we watched Monday night's show, and the first half of it is about J.D. Vance.
Yeah.
And, you know, and rumors related to upholstered furniture, and it was worth it. But we sadly have to leave it there. But he's going to say other things, is what I'm saying. It's not a one trick pony. Whether it's his childless cat lady's comment or whatever's going to come up next, because you've seen his formula is the Trump formula: never apologize, double down on everything. You know, Trump is getting collecting backlash for referring to Kamala Harris, referred to her again yesterday in interviews as low IQ and not very bright, meaning she's a woman, and he doesn't care. He's just going to go forward. J.D. Vance is going to do the same thing, you know, like it or not.
Well, there's something interesting we were talking about before about the Watergate tapes that were the Supreme Court made Nixon release. If you look at that time in history, there was really, I don't know if there was anyone more outraged when you look at the interviews than the actual GOP at him saying he needs to step down. He is a disgrace. Let's get him out of, like, there was such a response to accountability then that today is, I mean, if you tried to make him accountable for his actions, talking about Kamala Harris in such a fashion, you would be primaried. You'd be called a rhino. You'd be set on fire in the party because you're not towing the party line, which is about doing whatever you want, saying what, and if people don't like it, that's their problem.
And they're still doing it, but I will say there have been a couple of changes, or at least some pushback that's a little bit, I don't know, maybe not refreshing, but provides a little bit of optimism. There was Stuart Varney on the Fox Business Network, who was being quite critical of Trump for referring to the vice president as, you know, low intelligence, low IQ, noting again, she graduated from law school. She was attorney general, a U.S. senator, a vice president. Trump is a failed businessman. You know, the only thing he's got going for him is white grievance and his celebrity status and his love of money. And that appeals clearly to a certain element who can't say that Trump actually has done anything else other than, quote unquote, speak for me, you know.
Yeah.
So there's some pushback that way. And the other thing I would note is that while Biden's age is not the same as Richard Nixon's criminal conduct, you at least did have a growing number of Democrats in early July saying, you know, they weren't, not everybody was circling the wagons for Joe Biden, you know, that there were people saying, hey, you know, we think it's time. And that obviously upset a lot of people, present company included, I would add. Yeah. But, you know, the fact that the George Clooney's and eventually the Mark Pocans and others felt like they could speak up really tells you the difference between the Democratic Party and one that, you know, you must toe the party line or you will be expelled. Nobody's been expelled from the Democratic Party for raising Joe Biden's age as an issue.
No, I agree. And I think it's important when, you know, Stuart Varney saying something is not nothing. But that's my point is like nobody's sitting in an elected official's seat is saying Trump needs to step down because he's too old or his brain the litany of things you could say about him. Mm-hmm. No one in power is saying, we should step aside. Let JD have a chance, Vance.
The only one you've seen, because all the others like Liz Cheney and Adam Kinzinger and others have been expelled, is Jeff Duncan, the Republican lieutenant governor of Georgia, saying, no, he'd already said that he was for President Biden. Mm-hmm. And now he comes out and says he's for Kamala Harris because he wants his party back, the Republican Party back from the Trump wing of it.
Yeah.
And that really is about it in terms of any profiles and courage among Republican elected officials. It's true.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. They all could do a little bit better. But back to the we'll close how we started with the phone calls here. As far as the white women for Trump, the actress Connie Britton jokingly called the group Karens for Kamala. And in an interview on Monday, the group's organizer, Shannon Watts, said that this was as much a reckoning as a rally meant to express the regrets about what happened in 2016 and the need for white women to pull their weight in ways that they hadn't been previously coming up this November. We'll have more after this live from Lake Wissota on the Civic Media Radio Network. This is Up North News Radio. I'm Pat Kreitler.
Sitting in his nowhere land, making all his nowhere plans for nobody.
On this day in 1966, the Beatles album Yesterday and Today was released. It was best described as some leftovers from songs that hadn't been on earlier albums but had just been released as singles. And that's because the way that the albums were handled in the U.S. was different than the way the albums were handled in Great Britain. And so some songs that were on British albums weren't on the American albums and vice versa. And so Yesterday and Today was a bit of a catch-all for some of the singles. And we'll probably hear maybe another tune or so before the day is out here at 7:21 on Up North News Radio. Again, the Brewers were winners against Atlanta last night. They will play again tonight, 7:10 first pitch, pregame at 6:35. On Civic Media stations WRCE in Richland Center, WRJN in Racine Kenosha, WCQM in Park Falls, and WISS in Oshkosh. You can stay up to date on our unabashedly Wisconsin news through our daily newsletter. Go to upnorthnewswi.com, click subscribe in the banner at the top of our homepage, and you will be part of it. Today, Christina Laurie notes that it has been 15 years, July of 2009, 15 years since the last increase in the federal minimum wage. That was the year, Christina writes, that she got her first job for that same $7.25 an hour that it is now. And it got her thinking, what was your first job? What year was that? And how much did you get paid? And so folks can reply to the email newsletter if they'd like to share their story. Obviously, you can do the same for us as well. You can always reach or text us here at 855-75-CIVIC. Or you can send us an email. It's radio at upnorthnewswi.com and send us your first job story. Do you remember what you were paid, what you were doing, and any good anecdotes, good first job anecdotes that you'd like to share? And maybe we'll talk about those a little bit later on in the week. Also in the newsletter today, three different cities that are perfect for a weekend getaway, some curated items you might want to explore in Bayfield, Milwaukee, and La Crosse, from where to stay, what to eat, how to spend your time. Take a look at all of that and much more in our newsletter. Again, sign up at upnorthnewswi.com. Greg, do you have any idea? We're trying out a new coffee flavor here. And it was a recommendation from a friend, and I've seen it before. But do we know what is in the coffee known as Highlander Grog?
The caffeine of my enemies.
Highlander Grog. I'd seen it before. I've seen it before. And then I realized that in our cupboard was a little packet. Some people give, you know, somebody gave us like flavored coffees for Christmas. And one of them said Highlander Grog. Oh, so I tried it, and it was as good as what I'd had at my friend's house over the weekend. So I was looking really quick just to try to get a quick answer.
Yeah.
One page says coffee, grog, rum, butterscotch, which takes me back to what is grog?
I am grog.
No, that's Groot. That's Groot. Described as a pop-up ad is keeping me from telling you that it complements chilly mornings with its warm, nutty, spiced flavor. So I don't know exactly what it is. I do know that I'm kind of liking this. I don't know if I'll get another pound when it's gone, but I just didn't know if it was something you were familiar. I don't know how much of a coffee aficionado you are.
I'm not at all. I'm not an aficionado on anything, Pat. I have very small and little opinions on anything. It says each sip is a smooth and craveable blend of authentic caramel, butterscotch, and hazelnut flavor, which all of those sound great to me. The problem with that is, when they say things like that, I'm expecting a more robust, like stronger sweet. And then you sip and you're like, this is coffee. I don't
know. Who made my coffee taste like coffee?
Yeah. Like I need, I am not a, you know, people who are like, I just love a cup of black coffee. I'm like, okay, cool. How were the 50s? Cause I need some sweet in my coffee. I won't lie. I need some sweet
You're
in my coffee.
You're a sweet guy.
I'm a sweet guy. I like my coffee like me. Sweet.
I don't get hazelnut creamers because I don't mind hazelnut, but it's kind of like cilantro in that it's way too easy to put too much in.
Mm-hmm.
You just need a little cilantro in something. You just need a little, what's the word I'm looking for? Hazelnut.
Yeah.
You know, in something. And they kind of go over. But this stuff's got just, you know, a hint.
Maybe
a little. And I'm good with that.
And we're not, by the way, we are not endorsed, paid for, or given free stuff by Barris Brothers Coffee Roasters. Barris Brothers, I'm looking at you right now. I feel the same way about ginger. A little ginger is great, but once you cross that line, it's nothing but ginger. Nothing but ginger.
Yeah,
but yeah, I would give that a shot. And it looks nice. And I thought at first I thought I saw they had an ice cream version of it, but it was just a can of coffee. Never mind.
Oh, okay. No. And some people rave about coffee flavored ice cream. I can't. That's a line I won't cross.
No. You know,
coffee is for coffee. Also in the news, the nation's 22nd statewide abortion ban went into effect yesterday, with Iowa prohibiting most abortions after 6 weeks of pregnancy. Most women don't know they're pregnant within the first 6 weeks. So the law is essentially a total ban before women have any right to consider their options. This has been pushed by Iowa Republican leaders for years. It certainly gained momentum after the Dobbs decision. And after the Iowa Supreme Court ruled in 2022 that there is no constitutional right to abortion in the Iowa state constitution, which might explain why in so many states there is a push to enshrine abortion rights in there and essentially enshrine women's privacy rights in there. So anyway, the new law means that women in eastern Iowa may feel the need to travel to Wisconsin for abortion care, and that led Governor Tony Evers to put out a statement that said, Iowa women, he wrote yesterday, are waking up with fewer rights and less reproductive freedom than they had the day before, all because of Donald Trump and his radical agenda. Donald Trump promised to overturn Roe v. Wade, and he called state abortion bans like Iowa's, quote, beautiful. We will continue fighting to protect reproductive freedom in Wisconsin, but the only way to stop Donald Trump and J.D. Vance and Project 2025 and their plan to ban abortion in all 50 states is to elect Kamala Harris. She will sign a federal law to restore reproductive freedom and make sure every woman in America has access to the reproductive health care that they need and deserve. And if you want to read more of that or comment on it, we have that posted on our Facebook page. Head over to Facebook and search for Up North News WI. I did find a story that we hadn't been talking about previously, and that was because Eric Hovde late last week made mention that he wants absentee ballot drop boxes monitored, quote, literally 24 hours a day to watch for, quote, people just jamming fake ballots in Madison. So apparently this would only happen in Madison, no place else, which, again, if you were stuffing ballot boxes and you thought there might be cameras, wouldn't you just drive out of town to another city? But it raises this point. Tampering with the mail is illegal as well, and we mail absentee ballots back all the time. So if you're not pushing to have 24-hour cameras on every mailbox in the United States, you might be showing your hypocrisy just a little bit. But that's Eric Hovde's new and brilliant idea in his Senate campaign. Hans Breitenmoser and the law, the Republican fight against land conservation is next. You're up north. All right, every couple of weeks or so, we bring in Hans Breitenmoser, a dairy farmer up in the Merrill area of Lincoln County, and we'll do that in just a bit to talk about a couple of things. We'll talk about land conservation programs, but we're also going to talk about those proposed state constitutional amendments that will be on the ballot on August 13th and the impact that they could have on farmers and on rural communities. But let me start by reading you a little bit from a news site that deals with sustainable agriculture called Civil Eats. And the headline is, Republican plans for ag policy may bring big changes to farm country. And it starts by giving the story of a farmer, Dave Andrews, who's right in the center of Iowa, a 160-acre farm that's been in the family since 1865. And the land rolls a little bit in his words. And so 30 years ago, he decided to plant 60-foot by 100-foot strips of tall grasses within and along the edges of his fields to prevent erosion. To pay for that, because now that's no longer cropland that he makes money off of, he enrolled 14 acres worth of those strips in the federal government's Conservation Reserve Program. Through the Conservation Reserve Program, the U.S. Department of Agriculture pays farmers not to farm on less productive parcels of land, often areas that are corn or soy fields as far as the eye can see, and leave them alone to reduce runoff, improve biodiversity, and hold carbon. As of March, more than 300,000 farms had close to 25 million acres enrolled in the Conservation Reserve Program, CRP. While 25 million acres sounds like a lot, that's less than 3% of U.S. farmland. But Project 2025, the blueprint for a second Donald Trump term, proposes eliminating the Conservation Reserve Program outright. The Republican Study Committee, which is the main group of Republicans in the House of Representatives, propose ending new enrollments in the program as well. The impact that would have on the quality of the land and on farmers and on their income is noteworthy. And there's no guarantee that those cuts would pass. But as Trump conservatives get more power and are being increasingly in favor of budget austerity, you can't any longer say that something like this can't happen at all. And that's where we bring in Hans Breiten Moser to talk more about these land conservation programs for that and for other areas, some recreational areas in part of Wisconsin. Hans, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Pat. I'm clearly not as good as you because I haven't had my rum-infused coffee this morning. But
Wait. Rum-infused coffee?
Isn't that what you said earlier, that you had rum-infused coffee?
I didn't say rum. I said there was hazelnut in there, and I said there was some other I don't recall saying rum, but if my speech starts to slur, well, I'm either going to have to get rid of this coffee, or I'm going to have to pour some more. We'll check out the quality of the program, and we'll see where it goes from there. Now I'm a little concerned about what I'm ingesting in there. Will be a breathalyzer test at the end of today's show. How goes the field work, given that we haven't had a long dry spell in a long time around here?
Yeah, well, we had a little bit of a spell, and then yesterday we got an inch and an eighth in about a half an hour.
Yeah.
So it rained like crazy here. But prior to getting that rain, we did get the last of the seed in. We put in some sorghum Sudan grass and some clover on some ground that we had intended on planting corn into weeks and weeks and weeks ago. So we officially have all of our acres have some kind of seed in them.
Okay. And we know from the weekly farm report that came out yesterday that, again, there's plenty of surplus moisture in parts of Wisconsin. There's not what we would call a shortage. Nobody's talking drought anymore around here. But, you know, the planting is getting done. And then there are the places where the planting is not getting done, and that's by intent. And that's what takes us to talking about these conservation programs. And I know that you heard what I was saying earlier there, Hans, about the Conservation Reserve Program. And mm-hmm. So tell me a bit about your thoughts of, you know, the value that it has currently and what could happen if the people behind Project 2025 were to actually have as much power as they want next year.
Well, again, it's just bad public policy. It makes no sense. We've had these conservation programs in place for years and years and years, and the reason is because they work. They do exactly as they were intended, taking less productive farmland out of production and compensating farmers for that and increasing biodiversity. And of course, now the more we know about carbon compared to when some of these programs started, there's even a greater benefit. So to eliminate these things is just once again very poor public policy that's not based in science, but rather it's based in some, you know, ridiculous ideology that government shouldn't have anything to do with anything, you know, and it should be small enough to drown in a bathtub.
And it's that mindset that is actually behind the other attack on conservation programs. And Henry Redman has a fantastic article about that in yesterday's edition of the Wisconsin Examiner. Head over to wisconsinexaminer.com. The headline on Henry Redman's article is "Right-Wing Opponent to Conservation Lists Wisconsin as Part of Their 2024 Plans." It's about a group called American Stewards of Liberty, a right-wing anti-conservation group that has Wisconsin in its 2024 strategic plan, stating that it wants to stop federal funding of the recently established Pelican River Forest Conservation Easement. They are working with Congressman Tom Tiffany from up north, who, of course, has long been against anything that protects our natural resources and has been heavily involved trying to block this easement from going into effect. And it is, as you said, Hans, based in a very small government view of things that says that such easements for conservation projects, things that would be good for, you know, the recreational industry in Wisconsin, tourism, agriculture, that these things must be done first with the local governments have a right to veto. But obviously, if the local units of government have something to gain by bulldozing over, you know, land to put up a strip mall or a golf course, you can see where they might not necessarily want to conserve land in their area. And it kind of removes the 30,000-foot view of what works best for all of us here in the state of Wisconsin.
Well, absolutely. And I think the other thing that's happened over the course of the past couple decades, and certainly the past couple of election cycles, is the influence of party politics and big money influencing local elections. You know, we didn't used to have that on county board races and city council races and so forth. And so now you've got that influence coming in. So it it sort of skews things a little bit. It's not the same local government that we used to be dealing with, unfortunately, because there are these pressures from outside groups and big money that's influencing those local decisions that used to be more, I think, organically local than they have become in the last couple cycles.
And then there's another part of Project 2025 worth mentioning, and that is the potential in a second President Trump term to fire thousands of independent civil servants across government agencies and replace them with political appointees who, again, don't have to look at the big picture and do what's good from a bipartisan or nonpartisan standpoint, but do whatever is good for the president and the party that appointed them. Again, it's one of those things that's not a very glamorous issue, Hans, but and nobody likes to defend bureaucracy or bureaucrats. But if people knew how much worse it could be with political appointees instead of independent civil servants, they might think twice about it. It's just that it's not the kind of thing you typically talk about.
Well, no, it's not terribly sexy and exciting. It's very sort of inside baseball, but it's so matters. You know, having been on the county board here in Lincoln County for 10 years, I gained a lot of respect for those sort of bureaucrats, right? For those people who we've hired to do their jobs, and they come to these jobs with passion for them and a desire to serve and so forth. You know, imagining some of those positions being filled by political hacks or people who you know, are specifically installed in those positions to destroy the organization from the inside out. It's a nightmare. It's an absolute nightmare scenario, and we have to get past this sort of nonsense that we've been fed over the years that, you know, anybody that works for the government isn't actually doing anything productive or not, you know, they're not working and they're, you know, all that needs to just somehow get out of the way so we can get back to a place where these folks are allowed to do their jobs. And, you know, the morale in these organizations as well is going to be hugely impacted when they look down down the pike and say, well, hey, my position is going to be eliminated and so forth. They're going to jump ship to join other organizations and get other jobs where they know they're going to be respected and taken care of.
The Wisconsin Examiner article closes with comments from Charles Carlin with Gathering Waters, a nonprofit that promotes state land trusts, and says that national conservative groups don't understand Wisconsin. They don't know our values, he says. Wisconsin is the proud home of conservation champions across the political spectrum who know how caring for our land and water increases economic opportunity while ensuring that our kids and grandkids have clean air and water as well as wild places to play. And Tony asks on YouTube in the comment section, rather tongue-in-cheek from Ashland, is this because Eric Hovde told people farmers don't work hard anymore? And it leads me to that Eric Hovde comment that we were the first to make public at Up North News, his comment about farmers just ride around on tractors now. And I see the Tammy Baldwin campaign is taking that and running with it. And I for one, am here for it. I'm here for the farmer looking at the camera going, what the hell is wrong with this guy if this is what he thinks about farmers?
Well, I would invite him to follow me around for a day and see if he's see how tuckered out he is by the end of the day. So it's a little more than just riding around.
It's a little bit more than that. And he says he gets that and that his comments when he does do these farm visits, you know, he thinks that what's going to help farmers is deregulation and get rid of regulations, which Hans to me sounds like the regulations he wants to get rid of are, you know, the ones that would prevent even further monopoly control of the marketplace. It doesn't strike me as farmer friendly, you know, deregulation, if you know what I mean.
Absolutely, I know what you mean, and beware the deregulation talk, because while it's an old tired trope that nobody likes to be regulated, think about the regulations that are in place in our lives, and especially for those of us who are in ag. You know, we need to have rules of the road. And certainly when it comes to, antitrust legislation and so forth, those are the types of regulations that are keeping us from being completely screwed over by the never ending extraction that we've been experiencing in ag for so many years. And you know, it speaks to these conservation easements and so forth. It's that extraction that is giving, you know, rural America heartburn, and not some of these other nonsense issues that the right keeps coming up with.
And by the way, if you're against red tape for farmers, let's talk about those constitutional amendments on the ballot August 13th. What would happen? What would happen if those Republican amendments were to be added to the Constitution, Hans?
Well, again, it's just plain stupid public policy. Number one, we should think long and hard before we change the Constitution. I'm not saying the Constitution should never be changed. It's a document that we should always be scrutinizing and looking at and seeing, you know, and thinking about for sure. But we shouldn't just change it because we happen to be in the opposite political party as the governor is. I mean, this conversation simply would not be happening if Scott Walker was the governor of Wisconsin. So to take power away from the governor right now or the governor's office has more to do with taking power away from Tony Evers than anything, quite frankly. But the real impact of this is making a headache and making slowing down any federal funds that could come to the state in the event of a disaster. And as we've seen in the past few years, as the weather gets weirder and tougher to deal with for farmers and for rural communities, I don't care if it's farm fields or rural culverts that are getting hammered by, you know, 3 inches of rain in 20 minutes. These are the types of things that we're going to deal with, and we're going to need federal funds coming in. And do we really want a legislature who can't manage to tie their shoes to begin with in charge of this money and getting it distributed quickly? I think not.
No, and that's why so many different groups are urging a no vote. And to learn more about the August 13th election, head to myvote.wi.gov. Hans Breitmoser, thank you so much for covering two very important topics. Have a great week. We'll talk to you again soon.
Have another shot of rum, Pat.
I will. I mean, no, there's no rum in this coffee. What are you talking about? Chad Holmes is coming up next as we wrap things up for a Tuesday. You're up north. I am being informed by Mr. Bach by way of some of the folks who listen to this radio station that I did indeed say that there was rum or rum flavoring in this coffee, Craig. So I guess I stand corrected.
Pat, it's always important to take that first step.
Of admitting that you might have put rum in your coffee. Exactly. I did not put rum in the coffee. But apparently whoever created Highlander Grog thinks that it has either rum flavors or rum in it. So I apologize. Not for the rum, but for claiming that I didn't say it. Chad Holmes, bail me out of this, buddy. How are you?
I'm speechless. I didn't know that we had an intervention scheduled for this morning.
We could have done this last Friday at the baseball game. We were all there. I mean,
Tony's like, maybe it's just the perks. Get it? Perks, coffee of being the founding editor. Some pretty lax policies.
Boo.
There at Up North News. Yeah, exactly. Yes, it was great to see both of you at the Brewers game on Friday night. And Chad, I got to tell you, so several people were, you could see they were aghast that you had driven all the way down from Wausau for the Brewers game and were driving all the way back after the game. And I said, you know, that's life up north. If you want to go to a Brewers game sometimes, you know, you bake a long drive into the equation.
Absolutely. And it's not a terrible drive. And it basically, the idea of staying over and then kind of, you know, having your whole Saturday be kind of taken away. I mean, it's about trying to maximize the weekend as well, because, yeah. I mean, if you drive after the game, it's late already. And then you go home, you go to bed and you wake up and you have your whole Saturday still ready to go. And so, no, it was kind of no-brainer for me. And frankly, I drive around all the time anyway, so it's nothing new.
Yeah, I mean, same thing here. It would not be a big thing. I recall that when my wife weighed a possible job option in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, and thinking, and we've been to Sioux Falls. It's a lovely city, really nice, but you better love it. You better find, you know, and if there's ever something you want to do somewhere else, then you better bake in that long, long drive, because it's a ways to go to, you know, to whatever other things you might want to see or do. And, you know, so it goes up north as well. So, yeah, how did you have much for construction traffic? Because we certainly did between Milwaukee and Madison. They had a lane closed and we were going slow as molasses for a long time there.
we avoided that. We went sort of through Fond du Lac and Oshkosh and the eastern route.
You took the circle route back. Okay.
Yeah, that's actually the quickest way. And that's and it was perfectly okay. I guess the best thing about Friday is I am just so happy that the Marlins waited till Saturday to trade Jazz Chisholm Jr. because it gave you an opportunity to bring out your Shirley Chisholm comedy routine. Because Jazz was there Friday. He had 5 at-bats. He played well. And then I get, you know, I'm looking at social media on Saturday, and it says Jazz Chisholm traded to the Yankees. And I'm thinking, we dodged a bullet there because we got Pat to be able to make a Shirley Chisholm joke at American
which
Family
nobody Theater. Under the age of 55 is understanding right now.
I got it. I just chose to watch baseball.
I can match, you know, obscure 70s political figures with the best of them out there.
Is he in fact related to her, though?
What's that?
Is he in fact related to her?
I have no idea.
Okay, well, you know what?
So. All right. I don't think so. I could sense, though, the steam coming off your forehead during the course of the night, because I don't think that the Brewers had lifted the level of Yacht Rock night to the
Pat
Kreitel.
No. It was a good start, but it clearly was handled by somebody too young for the job. And they really need somebody who, you know, would have amped up the level of, you know, Doobie Brothers and Steely Dan and some others. There were some good ones in there, but they could have stepped that up. Of course, they didn't give away the Yacht Rock hats to folks in our section and other places. And I don't know why that was. If you're gonna have a Yacht Rock night, have a Yacht Rock night for everybody.
Why not make more money on it, Pat?
Exactly.
And Pat Kreitel was coming from Chippewa Falls just for Yacht Rock night.
So yes. They got to
make sure that the customer is satisfied.
So like I said yesterday, I'm not saying don't do it again. I'm saying step it up. Let's really lean into it next year. But it was good to see you there. It was good to hear what's happening in the Wausau area. Our folks. Is there much talk yet about, for example, the constitutional amendments in August, or do you have any legislative primaries there by chance that are going to keep people busy in August?
Yeah, we do. We have the 7th District Congressional Primary. Got a pair of Democratic challengers who are looking to unseat Tom Tiffany, and Kyle Kilborn is one, and Elsa Duranso is the other. And if you missed, I had discussions with both of them last week, and you can go back and listen to it on the podcast page. And we have some assembly in the area primaries. In fact, later today on my program, going to be bringing in a Republican who is running for the 87th Assembly District, Corey Sillars. He is running against Mozeny Mayor Brent Jacobson. And it's interesting to talk to a Republican, because obviously it's wonderful to spread out the conversation, because there's a few things I want to ask him about from his perspective. And now running, and frankly, this race, and I saw a paid advertisement on Facebook for his opponent yesterday talking about some of these issues that those on the far right are very interested in. And it feels like it's a battle to see who can get further to the right. I'm a little curious to delve into a couple of these issues here today with Corey Sillars, who's running for assembly. He's also a member of the Wausau School Board. And it's going to be a rather, I think, active 2 weeks from today when that primary is going in. And I'm going to ask him about his viewpoint on these constitutional amendments from a Republican point of view, in terms of what he thinks of it, what he hopes then, if I'm assuming he is hoping that it's passed. So it's going to be interesting.
Because I mean, you'll hear about checks and balances and, you know, full participation and all of that, but they also have a track record, and their track record is sitting on all of this state money that could be put to use right now. So why wouldn't they sit on federal money as well? So I think that's going to be a very good conversation that folks can catch with Chad Holmes coming up on Bull Falls Radio right after this program. Listen in the Wausau area or on the Civic Media app. Mr. Holmes, thank you so much. Have a great show today.
Thank you too, gentlemen.
Let's look ahead to Matt and Air on Air. Mr. Bach will be there. Got a guest or a topic you want to make sure people tune in for?
We've got, I just had it up. I'm so sorry. I am so discombobulated right now. Sorry, don't sue me, Jan Schaefer.
While you come up with that, I will tell you tomorrow on this program, we'll have our homeroom segment about the Wisconsin Public Education Network summer session going on in Madison. And of course, we will have our climate check with Melissa Baldoff. So Greg's back at 10.
Yes, I am.
Prepping for the show even as we speak. Say goodbye, Greg.
Goodbye, Greg.
And thanks to today's guests, that would include Hans Brighton Moser and my colleagues, Sherita Booker and Christina Lurie. Up North News is the Wisconsin outlet for Courier, a pro-democracy news network building a more informed, engaged, and representative America. Have a great Tuesday. We'll see you tomorrow morning, Up North.